Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for Tangway and Hart. It's Gary Tangway and Andy Hart on WEEI.
So say you're a Patriots fan. You get everything you need for the game. You get your patch jacket, patch jersey, hat, gloves, flag, foam finger, bobblehead, doll, blanket, and inflatable helmet. But are you really a Patriots fan?
Go mother Pats!
At the Patriots merchandise store, you can finally become the ultimate Patriots fan.
How's that?
By adding the Patriots to your food. Kraft Foods is proud to present Mac Sauce.
And I want me some of that Mac Sauce in my dinner.
You can put that on anything. Burgers, sausages, hot dogs, chicken, your boyfriend or girlfriend. Purchase any bottle of Mac Sauce and get a free roll of TB12 toilet paper so you can eat good during the game. Then wipe your butt with Trader Tom after the game. Mac Sauce.
And I want me some of that Mac Sauce in my dinner.
Exclusively at Patriot Place. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Now, from what we understand, the Mac Sauce, Spaz, I think it's going to come in a number of varieties, right? I mean, are we going to have like a ranch? Are we going to have like a...
Is it a wet sauce or a dry sauce?
It's a wet.
Okay, it's not a rub?
Yeah, I would say it's not a rub.
No, could it's not do some rub. Dry rub, though.
Well, I'm learning terms off air. Spaz is learning the board, but he brings his own lingo.
I just messed you guys up big time.
He
Sorry.
Brings his... What?
You guys didn't hear that? I hit a button and it went over the air. I apologize. Oh, I apologize. That's right.
I just like that he goes, we'll go dry to you. We'll go dry, back sell it. We'll go and dry to you.
Yeah, you're learning all the radio terms.
I'm learning all these radio terms radio that I've terms. Never heard before.
Well, welcome to Radio 101.
Eamon, I've been working with you for years. You don't throw these terms out there.
I don't need all the fancy lingo and jargon. We just produce radio.
Going dry to you. Back sell.
It's just an insecurity
of mine.
Three, two,
go.
All right, 617-779-7937, Tangway and Hart, coming up at... 10:25. Yes, I had a moment right there. John Poitras joins us talking about the Bruins. And then Red Sox baseball.
The bees are rolling.
So, no, but we'll here's the point that I want to make with the Celtics. Uh-oh. And then I want to make with the Patriots. Uh-oh. The Celtics have come out a couple of times. Wick Grousebeck, in a radio interview, said that he has the utmost confidence in his general manager, his president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, and his coach. Mm. He has the full support. He is supporting the team. Mm. In a Dan Shaughnessy article, Dan Shaughnessy asked Danny Ainge, any possibility of big changes? Ainge said, I won't comment on that. That's a headline we don't need. That's a distraction. Excuse me. Shaughnessy asked, Ainge, are you coming back? Danny says, of course. Is Stevens coming back? Danny says, of course. Are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown coming back? Danny says, yes.
Interesting. Went from of course to yes?
Fine.
Is there a drop there in
maybe.
Support?
Maybe. Well, then nothing big. Dan says, as he concludes, he says, I don't know what you expect, said Ainge. You can think that any of those things are the reason. You can't think that any of those things are the reason for what this year has been. I can't think that the coach has been why this team is underachieved. I can't think that Jaylen Brown, who has been hurt and who has been inconsistent, I can't think that that's one of the reasons this team is underachieved. I can't think that Jalen Tatum defensively checks out. I can't think that that's one of the reasons this team is underachieved. So, comparing the Celtics, who are going downhill fast. And by the way, I made a conscious effort not to watch the Cleveland game. I said, I'm abstaining from the game. And you could tell that it worked. You know, I mean, I was so pissed off at the Celtic team, and I still am.
I know.
A freaking play-in game? A freaking play-in game. And I wanted the Knicks game at the end of the year to mean something. Tom Thibodeau down there in the net. I hate the Knicks. Andy, I cannot tell you how much I hate the Knicks. I hate the Knicks more than the Yankees. I hate the Knicks more than the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I loathe the Knicks. And that team is on the rise, and the Celtics are going down. So that's with gross spaz. Everything's fine, Andy. Everything is fine, right? I love everybody. After one bad season, what does your old boss do? Robert Kraft comes out unacceptable.
Yes.
Six Super Bowl titles. And by the tone of what Kraft said, everyone was on notice. Now, personally, I think Bill was taking a quarterback anyways because he needed one. But it was well known during that draft who was in charge of that room. And it wasn't Bill. It was the dude with the funky sneakers trying to look young with the shirt. Okay, Robert Kraft, after 1 year, came out and said, unacceptable. The Celtics, nothing to see here. A joke. It's why the Patriots are where they are and why the Celtics are where they are.
For better or worse, we always say it trickles down from the top, right?
No doubt.
Whether it's, you know, joke organizations like Washington in the NFL or great organizations like the Patriots, it trickles down from the top. Even if there are other quote-unquote great members. Like, you can say Danny Ainge is a great president of basketball operations, GM, whatever you think, or Belichick's great, but it does, the tone is set above their pay grade. I also think it's funny that Ainge said, of course he's coming back. Shouldn't he at least say, well, I think I am, like, doesn't he have a boss? Shouldn't he have just a hint of humility that
no.
he answers to somebody?
Well, you were saying
does
the same
he
thing.
Answer to somebody?
Yeah, okay, but that's the problem, though, Andy. Is your you use the word humility. I use the word fear.
Sure, everybody has a boss. I love that phrase. Everybody has, and I even argue that sometimes the people you think don't have bosses, then you get into family dynamics and wives or relationships. Even they sometimes have bosses, right? Or parents that are still very influential in their life.
Right.
People have bosses that even you don't think they have bosses. But I don't. Does Danny Ainge have a boss right now? And I will also say, as it trickles down, yeah, Brad Stevens is coming apart. Well, you told me at the trade deadline you had a hopeless coach. He used those words, right? He said, I needed to make this deal to give my team and my head coach hope. So when you don't have hope, you're hopeless, correct? I'm nitpicking. People tell me I fixate on words.
Yes.
But he felt the need to give hope to his head coach. Isn't it the coach's job to give hope to the team, to motivate, to play whatever games need to be played or push buttons? Like, there's some sports psychology there. We witnessed it firsthand here in the 90s. There was no better than Bill Parcells at that aspect of that job, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pushing of the buttons, the sports psychologist, whatever you want to call that head coach. You talked about it with Bill and how he'll motivate Mac Jones and get Mac Jones frothing at the mouth for being the fifth quarterback taken and, like, this whole thing. Does Brad Stevens do that?
No.
And we've gotten into the point, which I think is a legitimate question. The way the roster is put on the floor and the roster itself. So there's two divides there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Brad or a Danny guy? Is the roster good enough and the coach isn't good enough? Or is the coach good enough and the roster isn't good enough? Because they're both supposed to be good.
If I had to choose one.
You do, right now.
Because Danny.
You would keep Danny and Brad goes.
Right.
Okay, so you believe the roster is good.
No.
You believe the Brown-Tatum pairing works. You believe Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague were good additions in the offseason.
No.
So why is Danny staying? Because he bought you coffee once or something? Or you guys rubbed each other's thighs on the team plane? Why is Danny staying and Brad isn't?
Was that a Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, kind of.
That was. I didn't know
you
that
made Andy, no sense.
I didn't know that Andy could do Hanna-Barbera impersonation.
You said the roster doesn't work, but you're keeping the guy who creates the roster.
Because I think the coach can't coach in the NBA. And Danny Ainge,
how do you get to all these Eastern Conference finals without coaching at all?
Because the Eastern Conference wasn't that good.
How do you always overachieve?
Because the Eastern Conference wasn't that good.
This year.
This year, the Eastern Conference is very good.
Okay.
And I also think that the players were younger. I think as the players get older in the NBA, they're more difficult to coach because they develop more of an identity. They become corporations. The Athletic has done a great job, by the way. Jared Weiss wrote some things on the Athletic regarding the bonuses. You know, with Jaylen Brown, if he played so many games, he got money. So he decided to stop playing once he reached those bonuses. Same things, as you pointed out, with Jason Tatum. He gets $32 million if he makes the All-NBA team. Just the third team, Andy. And he can make the third team in his sleep, right? He makes $32 million. So now you have a situation where you're not dealing with young guys anymore, which I think Brad's very good at. You're dealing with stars. Jason Tatum's a star. He's got the Subway commercial. He's doing his own thing. He's a star right
now.
Who
gave him the extension?
Danny.
Oh. So the guy you want to keep around who puts a bad roster and did a bad extension gets to keep his job.
Because Danny Ainge has put together a championship roster in the past.
What year was that?
And yeah, I know it was a while ago. But Brad's never coached a championship team.
Ooh.
I'm picking the less of two evils.
Okay.
I don't think Brad's coaching style works well in the NBA. I think in the NBA, you have to command the room. Now, I think a great example is Steve Nash right now with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, I think, are going to be in the NBA Finals. They haven't played together at all.
Right.
They're still going to finish second. Now, Durant's coming back. Everybody's getting healthy. They're obviously going to make a playoff run. They'll win the first series because I think they'll probably play the Celtics and they'll mop the floor with them, right? But Nash even said, two-time MVP, Steve Nash, okay? At one point in time, considered one of the top five players in the league.
How many titles he won?
He didn't, unfortunately. Okay. But MVPs mean just as much to these guys as NBA titles.
Okay, I'm just asking. Okay? I'm just trying to paint the whole picture.
No, it's a fair point. But my point is you can have a coach that's won an NBA title, and you can have an ex-player be a coach that's won two MVPs, and it's the same deal. Because to the player in the NBA, the MVP is equivalent to an NBA title.
Brooklyn was a place where they started the year with Kyrie saying, I don't really see it as we have a head coach. We have five head coaches or whatever he said.
Whatever. Who cares? Right. But whatever. They've all played.
True.
Dude, I mean, he's got Stoudemire there on the bench. Amari Stoudemire. They respect that guy. My point is it's not about the X's and O's. It's about Doc.
Jimmy's and Joe's.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. It's about Doc Rivers coming in, and they did not change the Philadelphia 76ers roster at all. All they did is they changed the coach.
Got rid of Average Al.
It wasn't a factor. It changed the team dynamic drastically. The same thing with Steve Nash. Steve Nash called those guys out. He said, our offense isn't where it needs to be. He can do that because he gets into the fabric of the emotion of the player. Brad can't do that. Brad goes, okay, guys, we're going to run a zone. Brad can't connect with these guys. Do you think Phil Jackson was a great X's and O's coach?
No.
Didn't matter.
Oh, he had the other guy that did everything.
Yeah, the guy that did the triangle offense.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Exactly.
Because he was the Zen master.
Is Doc Rivers a good X's and O's coach?
No.
You're always going to have that guy on the bench. You go,
right.
Time out. You handle this.
Right. He would go, there's no question.
Right.
Yes. And you know who that guy is? Brad. Brad would be a great assistant.
Sure. Or a great college head coach.
When he took, this is what I admire about Brad Stevens.
This is where they screwed up. They got unlucky. If they were really offering 7 years and $70 million or whatever at Indiana, why did he not jump at it? Wouldn't everybody have been better off in the long run?
This is where I'm going to kind of play the role of you.
It's a good role. It's a fun
Which
role.
Which is, like, it's got to be so hard being you because you must contradict yourself constantly.
All the time. Thoughts just bouncing around. They come out the mouth. They go
like
back in the ear.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't think Brad's an NBA coach, but what I admire about him is he's going to stick it out.
So he's no Kenny Rogers.
Because I think...
Doesn't know when to fold him or walk away.
That's correct. I do think that Brad could have gone anywhere in college basketball and made $100 million.
Right.
And
so he
I
wants
think
to prove he can't coach here.
Yes.
It seems like a fruitless proposition.
It's like, you know what? I'm going to prove that I can fight in a war. I'm going to die, but I'm taking it.
What do they
anyways.
Tell you? Better the world to think you're a fool than show them?
He just won't quit. Which I admire, but I wish he would.
And you know what I wish? They hadn't given him an extension. Your guy, GM of the year, Danny
Ainge.
Well,
I mean, but if you're telling me I have to pick either one, I'm picking Danny because...
Because he has a ring on his finger?
No. I have some more ammunition on that. Not only did Kevin McHale helped him pull off the deal, but I thought that Danny did a good job with Kyrie Irving. It blew up in his face. I thought that was going to work. Okay. I really did. I thought Kyrie was going to be here for a while. I didn't realize Kyrie's the gutless player that he is. The only reason that Kyrie's playing well in Brooklyn is because he's got two other alphas with him.
Sure.
You know, but I don't fault Danny for that. Where Danny is really screwed up is if he picks out of the top 10, he sucks.
What about Peyton Pritchard?
He sucks. Come on, slow your
Peyton roll. Pritchard.
Okay.
He's a solid player.
You are right now, you are salivating with sarcasm.
He's a solid player. You get him at 20, what was he, 26, 27?
When Peyton Pritchard.
What about your guy, Lob Williams? And they get him at 26, 27?
Can't stay healthy.
He's a good player. You love him. You told me he needs to be on the court at all times. He's like the most exciting player on the team. He drives the team. He brings an energy.
But
he's transformational.
He does.
Okay, well, where did Danny Ainge pick him?
Wait a minute. Who's supporting Danny Ainge? You or me?
I like facts. I like to support
the facts.
Even
when they work against your argument?
Yes. I want the facts on the table. I'm not just going to whistle past the graveyard and ignore the facts. I can put all the facts on. You haven't mentioned Kemba Walker. You mentioned Kyrie.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Kemba Walker, Danny Ainge. How you like them apples?
This is where the Celtics are really screwed. Is they are just going to have to write out the Kemba Walker contract.
Yes.
I mean, they can't dump him. And the argument that I will make is that Kemba Walker was not a good signing, and the injury has nothing to do with it. The injury has something to do with it. Kemba Walker does not fit with Tatum or Brown.
Did you make this argument at the time?
Of course not.
I appreciate your honesty.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, I didn't. I mean, I thought,
you were compromised at the time.
I can't remember. I've lost so many jobs. I was compromised.
You were compromised at the time. Yeah,
in hindsight, I think they had me on the board. I think I was on the loading
dock. They did, but you didn't know that at the time. Pump the company tires at the time.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, but I mean, at the time, I thought Kemba Walker, okay, he's going to get to play with a good team. They couldn't keep Kyrie. Danny's done it again. Danny saved them.
Yes.
That's what I thought, that Danny saved the crew.
Okay.
And he said that Kyrie blew up in their face. I thought that Danny saved the team by signing Kemba Walker.
And now
I was wrong.
Right.
And so was he.
But you want to keep him.
You can't trade him.
No. I mean the guy who made the wrong decision.
Are you arguing for Danny or not?
No, now I'm back to...
Now you're back on the other side.
I just think
you asked me. One or the other.
Let's go with their premise. Their premise is the foundation is good, correct? The GM, the head coach, and the stars
owner.
Are good. Well,
and
the owner. I'll include him in there. But you're not going to fire an owner. That's not how this works.
No.
So their assertion is that the foundation is good. Do you believe in their assertion? I know I made you pick between Stevens and Ainge. But can this group, as currently constructed with tweaks, not, you know, scalpel, not hatchet, are they good enough?
No.
Okay. So your solution... Because I made it a binary, as John Anderson likes to say in the midday show. Let's make it not a binary. Tatum and Brown, Brad. Of those three, who goes? Is it still Brad or is it Brown? Because I know nobody would trade Tatum. He's God's gift to basketball around here.
Yet
what?
I won't trade him yet. But if it gets a couple years down the road, and we've talked about this before, and I know he has like a 4-year extension after this year, or he has another 4 or 5 years.
Well, I think
he has
3 years after this year. I think he started the extension this year. Brown, you're talking about, right?
It's 3 to 5 years. I thought it was 4.
Are you talking about Brown or Tatum?
No, I'm talking about Tatum.
Oh, okay.
No, Tatum's down the road. Tatum's down the road. But we've seen guys shoot their way out of town. I mean, that's the concern with Tatum, is that they're going to linger. If you keep Brad as coach, if things remain the same, you are the fifth best team in the East playing to your potential.
Okay.
You've got Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Miami.
Yes.
Because the problem with the chemistry of this team right now is they are soft. If they don't make threes, they don't play hard.
And who do you blame that on?
I blame it on
Brad?
The coach. That's the coach. Okay. I blame that on the coach.
Does any of it fall on your best player?
Yes.
I thought he made some really interesting comments last night in regards to his dad loved Kevin Garnett. He even loves Kevin Garnett. Right. And then he immediately said... Now, obviously, we're different personalities and different players. That struck me as, boy, if you could inject a little—I don't care about the player—if you could inject a little KG personality,
oh, there's no question,
into Tatum,
I know
the difference it would make for him, not only but also this team. Don't you think that would be huge? Like, do you not agree that his passivity is an issue for this team?
Yes,
like that's your leader.
Yes,
but he's not a dog.
So you're
not a dog at your neck.
But then, so do you blow it up?
I assume you mean by trading him.
Everybody. Do you just blow it up?
Brown and Tatum? What can you get? 2 package deals? And now we're playing radio. They're not going to trade Brown and Tatum.
Yeah. And then,
after the owner and everybody's on board with stay.
We've seen glimpses of Tatum being the dog on the floor, but it's only with scoring points.
Right. When he wants to get $32
million. Right.
Is that what I'm looking for?
That's the legitimate question. Jimmy Butler. Now, Jimmy Butler, when he was younger, was not the player he is now.
Correct.
But Jimmy Butler in Miami doesn't need to score 50 points to have a good game. Jimmy Butler can have 21 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, and make things happen.
But Jimmy Butler...
is a dog right
was
now.
But he was always a dog. It's just it was sometimes received as a malcontent. I think his personality didn't change. He found a spot where it worked.
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean?
Because in Minnesota, he was correct. I mean, I would go crazy playing in Minnesota.
Right.
So fine.
And Chicago, like, I think he was a dog,
dog. I was really disappointed with the way Jimmy Butler played in Chicago, especially when Rondo was on that team. I thought Butler was going to be better. But you're right. He's found his groove now. And you would like to take some Jimmy Butler and put that in Jason Tatum.
But you're not going to.
You see times where Jason Tatum will take over a game. 60 points, 53 points, you know, hits the game winner off the window against his buddy Bradley Beal against Washington. But you don't see it every night. And the problem with Jason Tatum is that you don't see him make other players better when he doesn't have it. If he's off and he's 3-for-15, you ain't going to win.
Correct. And I would say the bigger problem is when he's a dog, there is some questionable outside motivation towards the dogginess.
Yeah, it's individual stuff.
It's either, you know, Perkins calls him out in the media and he has to prove him wrong, or $32 million are on the line. Is that really great? Is that what you want?
So it goes back to the original point.
Because Brad can't do that every night. 82 nights a year, find a way to tweak Jason Tatum.
No.
Nobody could do that.
It has to be.
Red Auerbach out of the grave, and he's not doing that.
Look, Doc's done it with Philadelphia.
How long?
For a year.
Yeah, barely.
Well, I mean,
they're not even a full season in.
But, I mean, Andy, you take
And do you give him credit for Embiid? Or did you think Embiid maybe kind of reached a point?
I give him credit for Embiid and for Simmons.
Okay.
And I give him credit for the entire team, because that team lost three games to the Celtics last year when Brett Brown was coaching them.
Yep.
Celtics don't have a prayer against them now, and nothing's changed but the coach. I'm telling you, game in and game out, the NBA is a long season.
Look, yes, it is. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
You know, look, even Robert Parrish would say, like, hey, I took games off. You know, Bird, at the end of his career, knew how to handle his body.
Yep.
But they always won. The point is that you shouldn't have to tell, you know, you have to come in, you have to create an environment. You can't go game by game. You have to create an environment that this is how we're going to win this year.
But why didn't Doc create that environment in L.A.?
Because the coach, because the general manager lost patience. Bomber screwed up. Doc had that team. They brought in Kawhi Leonard, and they had some chemistry problems. But when COVID hit, they had won 10 in a row. I maintain if Doc's still with the Clippers, that's a better team. I think the owner got nervous. He got rid of Doc too quickly.
I think you're too tied into the winning Celtics of Doc Rivers and Danny Ainge.
Maybe,
but you're not biased.
So what's your option? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Andy? Are you going to fire Danny Ainge, and then what are you going to do?
No, I think I would be with you. In all seriousness, if I were going to make a team altering move, I think Brad's going to go.
Yeah, Brad's.
I think that would be my first attempt, because I, unlike a lot of people in this town, I really like Jaylen Brown. I think he's a really good player. Now
he's the most tradable, though.
He is definitely the most tradable, and I admit there are legit questions as to the Tatum Brown dynamic, whether that works on and off the court, that whole thing. I think there's legit questions there, but I still would like to see them play together and give them the opportunity of bringing in your Doc Rivers, who makes that work better. Whoever it is. I'm not saying Doc Rivers. I'm saying a version of somebody who changes the dynamic, kicks people in the butt when they need to be kicked in the butt.
Fear.
You know, you've probably seen, there's been a lot of clips from Kobe this week about how you got to be an a-hole to be a leader. You're not going to be liked if you're a leader.
I agree.
Because you can't be buddy-buddy all the time. And, you know, the Willie McGinnists through the Patriots locker room, people feared him. Media feared him. Teammates feared him. Bet you there were some assistant coaches that feared him over the years. That helps you be a leader.
Michael Jordan was not well-liked.
No. And, you know, and what was his response? Well, you've never won anything. If you've got a problem with that, you've never won anything. And Kobe took the same approach. I'm in this to win this. Not make friends, make teammates for life, impress the media, collect, you know, some trophy for Mr. Nice Guy from the Youth Coaching Alliance. Nope. I'm here for one reason and one reason only, to be the last person that plays holding a trophy at the end of the season.
And to give the Celtics an idea, to give you a Celtic reference, Kevin Garnett did that in 08.
Correct. Even though it annoyed me, I always thought the stupid thing with the shots after the timeouts where he wouldn't let anybody shoot. But those set tones, they set culture. Right? They do. What were the stories about? Nobody got pizza before him. Like, he was the alpha. He was the alpha dog. Now you need an alpha. Jason Tatum's your alpha on the court, but is he your alpha?
He's your alpha when he's scoring points.
Right.
I mean, Jason Tatum right now, he's an offensive-minded player. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Kevin Garnett, and this is perhaps, I thought this was the most honest thing that Brad Stevens said, and this was after the Cleveland game? Defense. He said 1 through 17 can play defense if they want to.
Yes.
This team doesn't. This team has been one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. That wasn't the case when they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Correct.
Okay. That 2008 team, Paul Pierce and Ray Allen played defense for the first time in their lives. You know why? Because Garnett scared the crap out of them. And Garnett said, you will play defense. It's fear, Andy. You have to fear.
Was there also hope? To steal
well, it's both.
Like, you
I
knew
mean,
you
I
had
mean,
a
it's
chance.
Hope. It's hope.
You knew
yeah,
you
because,
had a chance to right. compete for a title.
Yeah,
you started the season
correct.
Competing for a title.
But when you have, to your point about Willie McGinnis, You know, when Millie McGinnis tells Rodney Harrison day one when Rodney was late 10 minutes, Rodney, we don't do things like that around right. here. Or when Larry Bird calls somebody out in the huddle. Or when Kevin Garnett says, you know, listen, you know, Jesus, as he used to call Ray Allen, Shuttlesworth, you know, no, we play defense. We play defense because that's how we're going to win.
Right.
You know, when your best player, Garnett, whether it's Pierce or Garnett, whoever's the best player, is blocking shots and knocking people down on defense and diving for loose balls, the other guys better jump on.
But they knew they could win.
And of course.
If you say that to the 7-seed Celtics right now.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Okay, so we play defense. No, maybe we're the 5-seed?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. No,
like,
it's not enough.
The ceiling is not title.
It's not enough. So then you get to the point, if you're Danny, do you blow it up?
Yeah. You got
to
do something.
You're just
going to roll the ball back out there and say, well, we never had all our guys together. Kemba will be healthier. JB will be out there all year. Well, Tatum won't have COVID. Well, it'll all change next year.
Yeah, it won't.
Nah,
it won't. That's what they're preaching right now. It won't. I think Danny will have Jalen on the market. There's no doubt in my mind Jalen will be on the market.
I'll be rooting for him, too. Okay. You want to know who I root for? I'll be rooting for Jalen Brown to score 30 a night in a different city.
I understand
and
it.
Shove it, lube it up and shove it up your butt.
Well, I understand it, but he's the only one of value.
What about Marcus?
I don't think Marcus. I would trade Marcus at a heartbeat.
$13 million a year?
I would trade him at a
heartbeat. Championship caliber team looking for a defensive dog.
Yeah, but I think you get more with Jalen. Maybe you package the two.
Both of them.
Jalen and Marcus are tradable.
Karl Anthony Towns, baby. I'm on the Wiggy train.
I would do it.
I would do it, too, and I love JB.
I would do that in a heartbeat. 617-779-7937 Tangway at Heart. Red Sox Baseball 12:05. We're telling you where you can buy some Mac Sauce in Foxborough. That's coming up later. Also, Spaz hit the street. We got some man on the street stuff too.
Yes.
Man and women. Man, people on the street. But coming up next, John Butchergrass, ESPN, on the Bruins game against the Cavs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Apps next.
We're right back to it. Tangway and Hart on EEI.
Do you go into these playoffs thinking how these playoffs go will determine whether you want to continue your career after this year, or do you already know where you're going after this season?
I haven't really thought of that. I think I just try to go, you know, game by game, series by series, and then you know, see what the future brings after that. Obviously, there's going to be some decisions to be made. We'll do that when the time's right. Now, right now, I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking, you know, game by game and series by series. You know.
Health-wise, body-wise, you feel good enough you could go?
After this year?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not going to ask that right now. I'll talk to you after the season. We'll find out.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Kevin Paul DuPont, Boston Globe, asking the tough questions to Tuukka Rask this hour of Tagway at Heart, brought to you by Dana-Farber-Brigham and Women's Cancer Center. Let's take the first step together at youhaveus.org. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, John Butchergrass from ESPN. John, thanks for joining us, but I do have to ask, generally we can't get people to join us Sunday morning. Why were we so lucky? Are you, like, lonely?
check. Yeah, that is pretty pathetic. My goodness.
Andy, I said to our producer, we're not getting Butchergrass. He's like, he's not coming on Sunday morning.
Well, I don't mean to lump, add more.
You guys are legends. I enjoy your work.
Sunday morning legends.
Tangay forever.
Yeah.
Hart more recently. He's kind of in his prime. So, you know, can't say no.
John, I got to tell you, I don't think we've ever met, but I feel like we know each other because I used to watch you on Providence Sports on TV when I was a kid. What year was that?
Yeah, Channel 12, WPRI TV, yeah. From 94 to 96.
Yeah, see, my high school years.
Yeah, and I remember when you got a job at ESPN, and I said, how come I can't get a job at ESPN? But anyways,
guy can get it.
Obviously. Listen, we know that you're big on hockey. We got to talk to you about Tuukka. The thing I want to start with Tuukka is that, is there a more, because we know about the game, and we'll get into that stuff, but is there a more unappreciated guy in Boston than Tuukka Rask? Because it just seems right now, despite what he's championed, there are people that want Swayman in that.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably other underappreciated stars, because, he hasn't really won a championship. He hasn't really, done that. But in terms of his record, his regular season record, he's won a Vezina. He was second last year. His playoff numbers are good. They weren't great last year. But other than that, his save percentage is better in the postseason than the regular season. You always like to see that with guys' playoff resumes, who steps up and who steps down and who stays about the same. So, yeah, overall, I'm not sure what it is. The Bruins have been a massively popular team for the last 10 years. Lots of characters. When you go back, obviously, to Lucic and he leaves, but then Marchand kind of takes that mantle and Bergeron's that constant. So there's been so many characters, so many players, and Chara's height and everything and what he brought to the organization, one of the best free agent signings in the history of sports, really, the way he transformed this team, wore the C before he even stepped on the ice for the first game. So I think he's just lost. He's a quiet Finn, just kind of in the background. And, it's not everyone can get it. So it's just not going to be doled out equally.
And we seem to always be left interpreting his comments. Certainly we had it in the bubble last year when he wasn't really worried about the results. And then a short time later, he's leaving the bubble. Right. What'd you make of his comments last night about his future?
I just don't know if that's the place to ask it, first of all, to kind of take his side. I mean, he's the adrenaline's flowing. He's thinking about each game. I thought he was good last night. He's very calm, and all the goals were kind of weird. And so overall, I thought he was fine. He was not the problem last night. And although you don't want to get beaten by Craig Anderson, but that's a tough one. But overall, the team was not good. They didn't bring a playoff effort. I thought the rink was kind of dead. It didn't have much playoff atmosphere. I know we're not 100% yet, but it just didn't, at least on TV, it didn't translate into a playoff loud rock and roll concert, and the Bruins seem to sink to that in my mind.
When you talk about Swayman, there seems to be, it's the backup quarterback theory, right? The backup quarterback's always better. I mean, that's what we're dealing with right now. Would it be fair to say that there's more jump from this team, or the guys may rally around him more if Swayman's in net? Is that fair?
I don't think so. I don't think that matters. The Bruins are a veteran team. They're going to play hard no matter what. He can cause maybe a little bit of juice, especially in the beginning, looking to protect the kid. And so sometimes you can pay attention to details more when you know he's there. But, it is an interesting side angle to this team. It's like the quarterback on his first contract in the NFL. It does affect your cap. When you have cheap goalies, you can get another player or two up front if your goalie's good and doesn't make a lot of money. And that's, of course, the big decision the Bruins will have. Do we just give the job to Swayman next year and get a cheap backup veteran? And then that clears a lot of space for them to do other things if they want. So But yeah, he's the new thing. He's definitely a talent going back to college, but you just never know with goalies. Goalies are interesting. They're like kickers sometimes in a lot of ways, personality wise, a little quirky. They can go up and down. And, if Tuukka wants to come back and the money's decent for 2 years, I would think that would be the play. And then you have some insurance as you hope Swayman's the guy to take it from there. So it's a tough decision for Cam Neely and Don Sweeney this offseason, especially when they don't know what Rask is going to do. They'll want an answer pretty soon.
Called out is probably a strong phrase, but hell, we're doing Sunday morning talk radio. So Bruce Cassidy called out his stars after the game last night, sort of flipping the script on our usual talk about, oh, where's the secondary scoring? The primary scoring was absent. Do you think that's an issue, or is that just a one-game aberration?
Yeah, well, I mean, hockey's hard, so it's a hard sport. There's a goalie in front of the net, so you're not going to score every game. You're not going to score every
game. Yeah, but the goalie wasn't good who was in front of the net.
No, I know. I mean, when Richie scores and DeBrusk scores, then you figure there's two right there. We got to win.
Yeah.
We can find one more or two more. But yeah, they weren't good enough. That was a fair. You know, sometimes the coach would just say that, but they weren't good enough. You know, for whatever reason, the ice. I don't know if the ice was terrible, but no one could seem to handle the puck very well. And Marchand had a poor first period, I thought, and wasn't great. Bergeron was fine. You know, he is what he is now. He's older. He's not in his prime anymore. But for the most part, he was great in the faceoff circle. He was, you know, creating things, getting to the right spot. Pastrnak has not looked good to me the last month, 2 months. His season this year, he took a step back this year from absolute elite guy in the league last year. And then last year might be his career year with 48 goals. But he kind of took a step back again to just kind of a normal, really good player. And then, you know, Krejci got run over by Ovechkin, and that wasn't good. But, you know, in the fourth line did not play well last night. So, yeah, there were holes. There's holes. You look at the team, again, you do that after one game, one playoff loss. You really magnify things in both directions. They could easily win. They're going to come out really good in game two. I expect them to win. Then you come back and you win game three at home, and suddenly you're up 2-1. You control the whole thing. They're a better team. They should beat this team. They're better during the regular season, and they should win this series. But winning game two is key, but they could lose that and come home and win two at home. Like, that could, and you're back even again. So that's how it works with the playoffs. But I do expect a really good effort, much more complete effort in game two. They were bullied early on last night. Washington came out and took it to them, and I know the Bruins aren't quite built that way. You know, Washington's got like four or five guys like that, and the Bruins pretty much got Nick Ritchie. Like, he's got to do everything for them. So you know, and that's an advantage for Washington, but the Bruins got to step up more.
All right, John Butchergrass with us from ESPN. John, are you giving Taylor Hall a deal right now?
I would definitely offer him something for sure. Yeah, on the Bruins' terms, and whether that's $5 million a year, whether you know, I wouldn't go more than 5.5, 6. If he's going to want more than that, I think that's going to be too rich for me.
What do you make of his resurgence here? You know, I know the story, the narrative, he's always wanted to be here and all that, but what do you make of sort of the resurgence?
I thought he'd be good when they got him. At the time I said it, you know, a couple of things I did with, you know, radio and with Scott Van Pelt show, that he's a real hockey player. Like, he's good. He's been involved in weird situations with poor teams. You know, Edmonton, the Devils, as they took a turn after his MVP year. And of course, the Sabres were just, you know, an absolute dumpster fire. So, you know, he was going to come to a good team, be a second line guy, play with a borderline Hall of Famer guy, a retire your number guy for sure. And David Krejci for the Bruins. He's not a Hall of Famer, but, you know, just a terrific player, a great team, a great structure for the first time in his career. And I thought he would blossom pretty good. And that's what he is. He's a second line player. He's a good second line player. So you don't break the bank over that. He's not, you know, you could bring him over the first line once in a while, but overall, that's where he belongs. And that's where he can really be a good player. So I would expect them to be pretty aggressive giving him an offer. And again, that's where that goalie thing I told you guys about with, you know, if you have to pay an expensive goalie, then it might be hard to keep him if he's going to want 6.5, 7. And someone might give it to him after they see him play for the Bruins these 2 months, especially a decent team. And I don't know if the Bruins want to go there, certainly above 6.5.
John, you're not just a pretty hockey face. I'm going to ask you a question that you didn't expect, that Gary Tangway asked me, because, you know, schedule came out this week, October 3rd. If you hadn't heard, Brady will visit Gillette Stadium. Who are you rooting for, Belichick or Brady?
I will definitely be rooting for the Patriots and Belichick for sure. I mean, I didn't. Anytime my guy would leave my team, my hate for them comes pretty deep. Like, even last year, like, I mean, who's more likable than Mookie Betts? But I kind of want the Dodgers to lose in the World Series. That's just, again, that's just me. That's how I'm built. It's how I react throughout all these years of the players I root for and then go on. I just can't get past that usually. You know, I really can't. Nice. But for Brady last year, I actually wanted him to win the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay. Like, I definitely wanted that to happen. But in this game, I want Belichick to win this matchup.
Spoken from two guys who have never been fired and wanted to rub it in their boss's face. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I've been fired 3 times, all right? I have some hate. That's what I'm saying. Hey, hockey's coming back to ESPN. I assume you are part of it?
I hope so. You know, I'm certainly hope that I get to do some. You know, I grew up listening to Bob Wilson calling Bruins games on the radio as I grew up in Pennsylvania and Ohio. My dad was a South Boston kid. Mom and dad grew up in South Boston. So I had this weird thing where my parents and my whole family was Boston-centric, but I lived in Pennsylvania and Ohio. So it's always been kind of duality to it. But listen to Bob Wilson call games on the radio. And that was when I was a kid. I would turn the sound down on the radio and broadcast games. Girls loved me. They really liked that. You know, when you're in high school broadcasting games into a tape recorder. So an opportunity to call NHL games and do some studio work as well. I like variety as well. So yeah, it'd be a great chance for me to hopefully extend the career a little bit and hang around ESPN a little bit longer.
We're all about extending careers, John. Thanks
Damn
for
right.
coming on. Yeah. Thanks for having pity on us this Sunday morning. John Butchergrass, ESPN. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thank you.
Yeah, I made a good decision getting up on the Sunday morning talking to you.
You probably get away from the kids or whatever. All right, we'll see you.
Take care. See you, John.
Right, see you. Goodbye.
ESPN bringing hockey back. So
you bringing hockey back?
617-779-7937. The one thing about Tuukka that is just...
You hate him?
No, I don't
you
hate
are
him.
Trying to replace him with a guy who's played 10 games?
No, I think he just...
Yeah, John, everybody's better when Swayman's on the ice. The energy's better. Everybody likes him more.
It was a decent question. He disagreed.
You led the witness, and he said, I'm not going down the road you want me to.
So I'm not a good attorney. So what?
You're not.
And that's why I'm working Sunday mornings.
With me. Slumming it.
Max Sauce. We'll tell you where to buy it at 11 o'clock on WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more of what you want to hear. Tanguy and Hart on EEI.
What'd you make of his comments last night about his future?
I mean, I just don't know if that's the place to ask it, first of all, to kind of take his side. I mean, he's you know, the adrenaline's flowing. He's thinking about each game. And I thought he was good last night. He's very calm. And all the goals were kind of weird. And so overall, I thought he was fine. He was not the problem last night. Although, you know, you don't want to get beaten by Craig Anderson, but that's a tough one. But overall, the team was not good. They didn't bring a playoff effort. I thought the rink was kind of dead. It didn't have much playoff atmosphere. I know we're not 100% yet, but it just didn't, at least on TV, it didn't translate into a playoff loud rock and roll concert. And the Bruins seemed to sink to that in my mind.
John Butchergrass joining us from ESPN talking about the Bruins last night. Now, Kevin Paul DuPont of the Boston Globe asked Tuukka Rask after the game, what's happening with your contract? He's a free agent. You're going to keep playing? And Tuukka said, I have no idea. Now, a little backstory. I understand what John is saying is it's a tough spot for an athlete to answer that. But also, that's the only time you get to talk to players is on a Zoom. It's right. Not like you can go up to his locker or whatever after practice. That's not happening. And I think that Kevin, being the Hall of Fame hockey writer that he is, would have done that. But it's the only chance he had to talk to him.
Correct.
So you got
to
do it.
In an ideal world, he wants to have that conversation one-on-one and then write the story with the one-on-one quote,
right.
Not have the whole world, including Andy Hart and Gary Tengway, using it the next morning all over. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that for a guy who we question his motivations in Tuca, to say, well, you come back next year, you retire, and you're going to re-sign, what are you doing? But while he's coming off his first Stanley Cup playoff game is a weird spot, but
right.
You got to do what you got to do. You got to ask the question when you get a chance to ask it.
But I believe that Tuca is honest, because I believe that the way Tuca works is he is truly game by game.
So do you think there's a chance he retires?
Yeah. Oh, very much so.
Very much so.
Oh,
so like a 51% chance he retires?
Oh, yeah. No, I think he's done.
Oh.
I think
buried
he could,
the lead.
I think he could be done.
Oh, you just backtracked a little bit in that sentence.
No, I think he's done.
Okay,
I think he's
say
done
it like
because,
that with
okay,
conviction.
Fine, okay, I'll make a commitment. I have two predictions.
Tuke is done.
Yep.
And Mac Jones starts week one, baby.
That's it. I'm only putting money on one.
You're not another 500?
No. I can't do that.
500's enough. That's a nice.
I think based on what happened with Tuca last year, and we don't really know what happened. I know it was a family situation.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been a sick child. I'm not sure. I don't second guess it. Fine. But just his nature, I think that Tuca can live without hockey. And I don't think Tuca feels he needs to win a Stanley Cup to have a complete career.
Oh, I agree with that. The tone he gives is he doesn't need to be validated or,
right.
You know, the old Steve Young, get the monkey off the bat kind of. I don't think he
not
buys into those media fan-driven narratives. But that's also the reality, you know. If he retires after this year and they don't win the cup this
year, win the big one.
He'll forever be seen in that light.
And he should.
Oh, and he came up small for his team when they needed him most, whether it's game sevens or whether he left the bubble, or whether it's this or that.
It's game six against the Blackhawks, game seven against the Blues. And it's really a shame with the Blues because he played his ass off for the first six games.
You could argue the same thing last night. Like, he lost to a third string goalie who's known for juicy rebounds.
Yeah, I'm not on him for last night.
I'm not on him. What do we always cliche talk radio?
He didn't win.
It's Stanley Cup playoffs. You need your goalie to stand on his head. You can't let that in. And this, unlucky, blah, blah, blah.
I thought the game winner last night was kind of fluky.
It was.
It was. I mean, I'm not.
But there's a lot of flukiness in sports. In the end, did you win or did you lose?
Especially on this show.
You lost.
Let's go to Jake. We're going to get some calls in before 11 o'clock. Where you can buy Mac Sauce coming up at 11:05. Jake, you're on WEEI.
Boys, listen, it's hilarious that DuPont asked Tuca about his stupid contract, because I'm still very, very bitter that no one's gotten the story about what really happened last year with his child. Remember, we got the story with Ray Allen. We got the story with Nate Solder. Both of those athletes were beloved, and it was great PR. So what is Tuca trying to hide? And so for Kevin Paul DuPont, who is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, to focus right on that contract, when that story is still hanging out there and is an even bigger storyline with the player and the player's career arc, is disgraceful. That last goal last night and losing to Craig Anderson and the fact that the team didn't show up, that's one thing. That goal last night to lose that game was just, it was embarrassing. And this is a guy who, this is a guy who I wonder if they go down 0-2 and it's really nice here at the end of the week. I wonder if he goes to the golf course instead of Warrior. Like, I can question the compete level with him. I really can't with other hockey players. Hockey players, especially this time of the year, they live for it. They breathe for it. They obviously don't get paid for the playoffs. They get paid if they win series. So, you get paid as you go on. So, I wonder where Tuca's compete level
Jake,
at.
Jake, you're not alone. I mean, I'm not on him for the goal last night like you are. Thank you for the phone call.
One other thing. The coach on the other side, Peter Laviolette, had this same situation in 2006. He had Cam Ward, the phenom. He had Martin Gerber, the established goaltender, who I believe was an all-star that season and was an Olympian that season.
With Carolina.
Yes. Here's a guy who had a very, very quick hook. He pulled it in game two of that first-round series against Montreal. He pulled it three or four times in the conference finals against Buffalo. There's a guy who knows what he's doing. And you got to put Cassidy's head on a swivel here. If he doesn't know how to pull this move with Swayman and Rask, you may need to look for someone who has the gall to actually do it and to go up to your veteran goaltender and say, no, it's not your time anymore. It's the kid's turn.
Well, Jake, thanks for the phone call. I believe Cassidy is that guy.
Tengway and Hart, where we've fired both Brad Stevens and Bruce Cassidy by 11 a.m.
Well,
on a Sunday morning.
I won't fire Cassidy because I think Cassidy will pull the trigger. I think Cassidy would put it swimming in a heartbeat.
But if he does, then you're right. Tuca's done.